Hello and welcome once again to the Tripod, where we break down every single NRL game every week from a betting perspective, giving out betting information, betting strategy, and of course, free best bets. Now joined on the line once again to break down the second last round of the season is Jacob. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, mate. It's a bit of a cold and wet and grim day in Brisbane today.
It certainly is, mate. Yeah. You've got some background noise there as well. I'm assuming some construction and some rain.
Yeah, a bit of a mix of everything. And I'm nestled away here trying to just get shelter to do the pod. It's going to be a bit of a quicker pod. I'm in the middle of a conference at the moment. And, we've just found a window where we can get this. I'm missing the lunch, the buffet lunch as we speak. So hopefully there's some food left for me.
You'd never want to be missing the buffet lunch, but that's what we do for the pod. So, but it's an absolute cracker of a round this round, round 25. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, so we've got to make sacrifices. You're absolutely right. All right, what we want to do, I guess we want to briefly talk about last round. We need to talk to our listeners about the fact that our Facebook page is currently unpublished. Maybe I can just say with regard to that, basically Facebook has unpublished our page and they're saying that we've violated community standards. And when we read a little bit deeper into it, it's basically that we have put up posts that promote betting. Which, fair enough if Facebook wants to clean that up. I've said before there's a lot of betting stuff on Facebook and a lot of scam pages and a lot of spam. But it is a little bit, I think, hypocritical and a bit ironic that they do still have so many betting companies that they're in bed with that are posting content freely. The only difference is that they've got lucrative contracts with those guys and they don't have ones with us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you obviously still see a lot of betting content out there. But those are the pages that have paid Facebook a shitload of money in order to advertise their betting sites, etc. So it's a bit of a rough one, but we'll probably touch on it at the end. The group is still active. It's called Tips Forum. So for all of you that are listening to this one, you probably have found it either through that group or off our website. But certainly join our Facebook group, Tips Forum, and that's where we'll be posting all of our podcasts. There's still guys posting bets in there and that sort of thing. Just until we get up and running as well. And also, obviously the page is down now, but another way you'll be able to get all of our best bets and multis now that we, for the foreseeable future won't be posting them online, is to sign up to our newsletter. And you can do that by visiting tripodbetting.com and hit the tab that says newsletter, and you'll get all our best bets, all our multis straight to your inbox. So that's an easy way to do it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. So our website, like you just said, our group, which is called Tips Forum, we both currently have our Facebook accounts frozen, so we can't edit anything, but I think we've spoken about renaming the group Tripod Tips Forum, just so that if people search Tripod, now that our page is missing, they might find the group as well. And we've still got Instagram, so we will still kind of just give updates there where we can. So we'll try and keep people in the loop. Once we're back on Facebook, we can get in contact with people. If people want to contact us, they can't obviously private message the page, which we do not know at this point if it will be reinstated. Had about 6,500 followers, but the way to contact us if you want to message the Tripod is through the group Tripod Tips Forum, or at least start by searching Tips Forum. We've had a really good season, as you said. We're into round 25. I can't believe how quickly it's gone. It really does seem
absolutely.
It's pretty open. Every single team has shown they've got, kind of chinks in their armour for sure. But we should say last week was our most unsuccessful round of the whole year. So we went 1-4 on our best bet. And people can say, we're losing our touch or we're going out of form. But we've got to look a little bit closer at some of those picks. Like we had the Bulldogs plus 6.5 on a Thursday. That line closes 3.5. So we're not in the business of, predicting what's going to happen in the game. Ultimately, that game gets decided by Ben Hunt's deflected rubber right on halftime, which is 6 points in it. And the final margin was 10. Even on the Friday, our Tigers pick gets annihilated, but we got 10.5 in our pocket and that line closed 7.5. So my point is, we can't go out there and score the tries for them. We can't go out there and make the tackles for them. But what we can do is predict good line value. And if you've got a good line, you will win more often than you'll lose.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I mean, I guess some people may see what we're saying as excuses for bad picks, but I think it's very important to reflect on the round and just look a little bit closer, because at the same time, you want to sort of you know, see where you made good picks that lost, and that's no issue at all. And you want to sort of break it down, like even the Knights game, you know, we got a good line there, and they only just didn't cover. They were on the goal line for the last, you know, 5-10 minutes, and should have scored really in the corner, which would have covered. But on top of that, you know, you obviously had Mullen go out pre-game, which we didn't know about. And likewise with Manly, you know, they nearly covered there as well. So I don't think we were on necessarily bad side, but it's important to sort of look back on the round and sort of, you know, see where, if you did go wrong, where you went wrong, and if you were good picks, then, you know, move on to the next week.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You can get an absolutely great line, and it doesn't guarantee anything. It is still sport, and it is still gambling after all. How about we get into
round 25? That's why they call it gambling.
That's it.
Yeah, let's do it, mate. This is an absolute cracker of a round. Thursday night, we've got the Dogs hosting the Cowboys, which is basically a top for the top four. We've got the Dogs at home getting +2.5 points and 36.5 the total.
Yeah, so it is basically a semi-final match for all intents and purposes, because the top four is where you really want to be. And I'll even go as far to say this is a potential grand final match, because I think, like I said before, every single side has showed they're beatable. Storm, you know, got beat convincingly by the Raiders and should have lost to the Bunnies. The Raiders themselves were down 16-0 on the weekend. The Sharkies have fallen into a downward spiral. The Cows lost 3 in a row.
Yep.
And the Doggies, who have arguably as good a roster as any other, you know, team in the comp, have been playing really poor footy for basically 8 weeks now as well. So everybody is beatable, but on their day, and that's what we have to keep in mind. You know, in this game, I hate to go against the Cows, because if you ask me right now, I still do think the Cows, probably when they're full strength, are the best team in the comp. But I think I just have to play the Doggies here at home. You've got that revenge factor, and people can remember that game in Townsville on a Thursday night where the Cows won about 32-0 and say that the Cows are just too good for the Dogs. But I'll tell you what, like, nothing went right for the Doggies. They dropped so much pill in that first half, and the Cows honestly played perfect in that game. That's not going to be the case here. I just think I've been watching the Doggies so closely. They've just been sleepwalking through these games. They haven't covered a line since, I think, round 17 when they blew out the Broncos after Origin. So they've been just robbing punters every single week by not playing their best footy. But that's why we get a bit of extra value in this one. And if they can't get themselves up for a home game on Thursday night at Belmore to make the four, then they never will. So it's a bit of a now or never. You just got to take that +2.5. And I think we both love the under as well.
Yeah, I like the under as well, but more so than that, yeah, I think we have to take the Dogs here. You just have to sort of hold your nose and take the home underdog off a bad loss, you know, which a non-covering loss, which should have been a cover against the Cavs team that's come off a massive win. I think, you know, if you flip those results, the Dogs definitely start favourites in this one. And you do like catching points, even if it is only 2.5, you know, in a low total game, which this one is at 36.5. So I think you're right. This is, you know, the Dogs have been kind of sleepwalking through the last kind of 4 or 5 weeks. But now that their top four spot is in serious jeopardy if they lose this one to the Cows, I think the Dogs show up for this one. I think this line should be closer to pick 'em. And you saw it. I mean, the Cows were a 1-point favourite, you know, before the round. And then obviously off the back of those two results, the Cows are now, you know, 2.5-point favourites. So I think the public's overreacting a little bit to last week, and that's where we like to make our money on the line value. So I like the Dogs +2.5. I like the under 36.5. And I like, I think we should definitely look at taking the Cowboys under as well, possibly a try line under, because JT is a very good kicker.
Yeah, and you mentioned to me that there could be bad weather in that game too. And we have a couple of guys who are out. Jake Granville's out, which definitely makes a difference for the Cows. He's one of their key kind of offensive catalysts. Cassiano will be out, as we all know, for the kick to the face to Parker, but that's not one that moves the needle for either of us. I think he's a well-known player, but he's a 30-minute, you know, bench forward in a side that already has a bunch of monstrous forwards, so that's why we still can lean.
Yeah, that's right. Definitely. Friday night, another absolute cracker. We've got the Storm hosting the Broncos. Storm are 6.5-point favourites and 38.5 the total.
Yeah, 6.5, but I've seen as low as 5.5 too, and I think this one settles on a flat 6, although I heard that the NRL Integrity Unit, or whatever they call themselves, is making a judgment about James Roberts. If he gets scratched, that's not good news for Brisbane. I know he hasn't had a good year, but we're kind of skinny on our outside backs, and he's still a star player,
and that would definitely move the line at least half a point, I think. So with us having given out Broncos plus 10, which we gave out last Friday, on the back of the Brisbane, you know, very good defensive performance and Brisbane coming back into form, we went ahead and grabbed plus 10, which is obviously a great line. We obviously want Roberts to be in that game, and in fact, we'd love some other personnel decisions to go our way, and we'd love to possibly see a guy like Cooper Cronk or Smith get sat out here. So just to explain what's at stake in this game, the Broncos still can make the four, but if they want to make the four, they absolutely have to win this game. And as well as that, revenge is obviously at stake because they got obliterated like 48-0 by the Storm at Suncorp, and we were there about 6 weeks ago. Whereas for the Storm, if they win, they win the minor premiership. But even if they lose, the destiny is in their own hands to win the minor premiership next week at home to the Sharks. And I know that Bellamy always wants to play his strongest team in round 26 before the finals and build up form. So if he does have any inclination to kind of give guys a rest, it will be this week. And I'm still holding on to that faint hope that, you know, if a guy like Proctor is still a bit dusty with his injury, give him another week. If Cooper's saying he's a bit fatigued, this is when you sit them out, because after this, every game just means so much more. And in terms of if everyone plays full strength, I still think Brisbane plus 6.5 is the right side, because I think Brisbane is defending the way that they defended last year when they made the grand final. And I think things are coming together. They do have, you know, guys like Milford and Hunt getting into slightly better form. The forwards are back. You know, the forward pack is healthy again. So at this point, I think we're still in a good position with plus 10. I would even still bet Brisbane plus 6.5 and maybe correlate that with the under. But I'd love the Storm to sit a couple blokes out, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And I think it's probably, we gave this bet out at plus 10, you know, before the round. But the thing is, the way that the results shook up last week, it was probably the worst-case scenario for them resting players. I think now that they're 3 points clear, they win this one and they've got the minor premiership wrapped up. Whereas, you know, if the Sharks won on Monday night, then this game would mean essentially nothing to the Storm, because it would all come down to round 26, basically. But yeah, I totally agree with you. As you said, we've got diabolical weather here in Brisbane, and it's meant to continue on through tomorrow. So a rainy game means lower scoring, and you love taking plus points. Oh, sorry. Melbourne's meant to be bad weather on Friday as well. Yeah, it is. It is. So you're meant to have rain down there in Melbourne. You love taking plus points in bad weather. But like you said, yeah, I like the Broncos here. We've taken plus 10, which is a great line, but I think it's still a good bet at plus 6.5. And I like the under 38.5. So if we like both of those as well, just like the Thursday night game, I think we should definitely look towards the Storm total points under, because their kicker ain't that good. On Saturday, we've got the Sea Eagles hosting the Raiders. The Sea Eagles are catching 8.5 points at home and 43.5 total.
And we could have gotten the Raiders minus 4 a week ago, and I had my eye on that. And, you know, minus 4, they're also $1.60 to win the game. The only reason I didn't pull the trigger was that most likely outcome of events would have left the Raiders locked into third position this week, so they wouldn't have needed to win to advance. They couldn't get any higher than third, and they couldn't go any lower than third. And I thought, you don't really want to play a road team that has no reason to need to win. But then, of course, the Sharkies got upset, and now top two is actually well and truly in their grasp. In fact, if they win this game, they will actually get into second spot, which is awesome, because I think that they can host that week one game down in Canberra. I'm not sure about if the NRL is going to let them host the prelim down there. I've heard there's arguments about the stadium, but I think they are playing for a home, you know, final in week one, which would be huge for the Green Machine. So definitely they want to win this game. So, you know, you don't want to go against the Raiders, because they are maybe the form team in the comp. And we called it weeks ago. We had them against the Storm. We had them against Sharks. But I just probably can't go against Manly either. Off two or three really embarrassing performances in a row. They return Coruscant. They return Dylan Walker. Tom Trbojevic and Tafua are playing through injuries that require surgery. So, like, that's showing a lot of heart, and they are good players. Lyon is probably, his career is probably over. But, you know, if you ask me, his career was over probably 18 months ago. So it doesn't certainly hurt them with him being out. So this, what I'm saying is Manly has just enough at home, and if they fight, they could certainly cover 8.5. So I can't go against them, but I'm not playing against a rampant Raiders either.
Yeah, this just had stay away written all over it for me. I did play the Raiders, like you said, at $1.60 last week, but unfortunately that died along with a few other of my multis. But now that the line's moved 4.5 points, I can't possibly play the Raiders laying 8.5 away from home once I've missed the best of the number. But on top of that, like, you can't take Manly, you know, with nothing to play for except pride against the Raiders side that now believes that they can make the top two, especially when they're returning. They get Edric Lee back, they get Hodgson back, so they get a few troops back on board as well for this one, and they're going to be absolutely hungry for this win. They did not believe, they did not see themselves in contention for a top two spot last week, but now it is finally in grasp. And look, honestly, it's probably the most likely scenario with the Sharks, you know, having a tough game against the Roosters this week and then obviously playing the Storm next week. So Raiders certainly believe they can make the top two, and they're a deadly side. They can put on points in a hurry. So this one could easily be a blowout, but at the same time, not laying 8.5 when I missed the best of the number. Fourth game on the Saturday afternoon, we've got the Titans hosting the Panthers. Titans are laying 2.5 points at home and 41.5 the total.
And I've seen flat twos as well. And this is another one that we just jumped out and just bet early. We gave it out on Saturday. So this is why, with us, obviously in a limited capacity to post on Facebook, because we knew that there were new limitations that were being enforced. And then they ended up deleting our page based on shit that we had posted back in May about the NBA, you know, which obviously we were trying to comply with their new policies, but they just got us for old stuff anyway. So we didn't post on Facebook, but we did post on our website. An early best bet on this game, which is why you need to be checking our website. And that's also why when you go to our website, you can subscribe to the newsletter quite easily. You just put your email address in under the newsletter on the menu, and then you'll be getting our best bet emails, you know, so that you can get alerted to this kind of stuff. And we gave out Penrith plus four, and we just did it straight after Penrith blitzed the Tigers, because it's just a team that is finally living up to the talent level and finally playing good footy. And, you know, people laughed when we said that Penrith was a contender at the start of the year. And you've got to remember, at the start of the year, they had Dean Farre, Peter Hicku, Jamie Sauer, James Seguiaro. Like, this team has suffered some key injuries, and they're still, you know, they've got an 18-year-old playing halfback, and they've got a lock forward playing 5'8", and they're still blitzing teams. So I think we're kind of vindicated for why we did believe in Penrith, because now it's a hot side. The only, you know, I'm glad we've got plus four. It's obviously a good line anytime you get a line two better than what it is now. My only concern, I suppose, is that Penrith doesn't need to win as desperately as the Titans do. Just because they are two wins above ninth, the Panthers, and with a better points difference, they're almost mathematically safe, you know, all but mathematically safe. Whereas the Titans, if they lose the next two games, and that's, you know, obviously this one, and then they've got to go to Townsville and play the Cows, then they could get jumped by the Warriors, who have two home games against, like, sides that aren't in the eight. So the Titans need the game more. So, like, at this point, I'm happy with the plus four, but I'm probably not going to make any additional plays in this game, because I think the Penrith are the better team, but Titans need the game more.
Yeah, the Titans do need the game slightly more. You're absolutely right. But I think the Panthers are going to be up for this one. They're a confident team. We've sort of seen it all year, especially now with, you know, Cleary in the halves. He's a young guy, plays off confidence, and that big win last week certainly going to help his confidence. But on top of that, you know, we didn't like the Panthers when they first, you know, obviously put Cleary into the halves. Soward was gone, moved to England. Seguiaro was gone. And it was taking a while for him and Bryce Harrah to sort of gel in the halves. And I still don't think they're quite, you know, quite there. But they've certainly come a long way in those past sort of 4 or 5 weeks that they've been playing together there in the halves. And I think, you know, from a team chemistry standpoint, just having the same combinations together for a number of weeks just helps. And that's, you know, that's not what we're getting with the Titans here on the flip side. You know, Haynes been playing in the halves there for the first few weeks. He slots back into his favourite position of fullback, but, you know, say favourite position all you want, but the guy hasn't played fullback in, you know, 2 years. Because Ash Taylor's coming back into the half. So I like the Panthers at plus four. At 2.5, I probably think the line's probably bearish. 2.5, I think they're fairly even teams, and you count 2.5 points for home field, I think it's probably right. So we've got, you know, 1.5, 2 points of value. I think we've got the best of the number, so no additional plays from me either. Panthers plus four is a good bet. That's halfway through, mate. You want to go through anything else, or you're in a time crunch?
Let's just keep it rolling.
Keep it rolling. We've got the Sharks hosting the Roosters on Saturday night. Sharks are 4.5-point favourites and 40.5 the total.
Yeah, and we're always looking ahead, and what I wanted to do was probably some sort of multi involving the Sharkies winning on Monday night, as they, you know, probably should have. You know, the Bunnies had no real reason to win that game. And then link that, that would have then made this game kind of meaningless for the Sharks. They would have got the monkey off their back and got a win in August, which they have still not have done yet. And they wouldn't have needed to win this game. They would have been kind of playing for a first position next week, and you could have got the Roosters plus 6.5. But now, obviously the Roosters are similar to the Bunnies. They're a quality, talented roster that's finally healthy and is not looking to next year just yet. They are still trying to, you know, play good footy and win and be spoilers. See, that's a dangerous team you don't really want to go against, and they showed it on Sunday. Dragons had more to play for, but the Roosters just blitzed them. No doubt the Sharkies need this game like blood now, because when they play, most likely they're going to find themselves in third position because the Raiders will have won earlier that Saturday. So they're going to be desperate. They will get back Gallons. So the Sharkies are pretty much going to be full strength. It should be a pretty awesome game. There's a bit of a revenge factor too for the Roosters, who lost by 12, I think, to the Sharks on Monday night a few weeks ago, but the score was closer than that game. The game was closer than the score suggested. So ultimately, I think we don't have a play on the game either. I think it's just one that should be really entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I think the Sharks do win this game. I'm not laying 4.5 points though. I think it's time for the Sharks to actually step up, and you know, they've been saying all the right things, you know, in press conferences, etc. Heard Ennis sort of saying that you want to bring some good form into the finals, which they certainly haven't been doing as opposed to some other teams. So I think they'll be up for this one, especially when there's going to be a lot on the line in terms of the top, you know, a top two spot, and perhaps even, because I really do like the Broncos, think they can win that game, perhaps even a minor premiership spot on the line if the Broncos beat the Storm on Friday night. So I think the Sharks win this game, but like you said, this Roosters side is a talented roster, and as much as you like to say, you know, you don't know what sort of effort you're going to get out of these cellar-dwelling teams that aren't in the hunt for the eight, the Roosters have proven over the last few weeks that they are playing some good footy, and they've been up for every single game. So I don't want to go against them either. A talented roster that, you know, seems to show up every week over the past few weeks. So I think the line's probably about fair. I think the total's probably about right. If I was going to lean any sort of way, I'd probably go to the under, because I think the Sharks, being so desperate for this win, might tighten it up a bit, not throw the ball around as much and play a bit more controlled style of footy. But the Roosters are still going to be throwing it around, which is my issue. So I'm staying away from this game. There's better bets on the board. Sunday, we've got the Warriors hosting the Tigers in another cracking matchup. The Warriors are 9.5-point favourites and 44.5 the total.
And I did see some 10s this morning too. And I kind of think this game, Warriors hosting the Tigers, is kind of the same game as we had last week with Penrith hosting the Tigers. You have a game that still means everything, because the winner of this game will pull within 1 or 2 points of eighth position, because, you know, you're going to have a loser out of Titans Penrith, and these two sides are both 3 points below the Titans. So, you know, the winner of this game keeps their season alive. And as I said, the Titans won't be favoured to win in round 26. And both the Tigers and New Zealand have a chance to win in round 26 and still make the eight. So everything to play for in this game. But we do both probably believe that, you know, with the Tedesco injury, the Warriors are the better team and they're at home. So no doubt they should be favoured. But I would say 10 points is probably too many points. I actually still believe in the Tigers. I just think they're a confidence team, as are Penrith. And when things didn't go their way early last Friday, it got ugly, you know, and the Tigers were a best bet last week, and we stand by that one. But my issue is, you know, New Zealand have off two bad performances in a row, a head-scratching loss against the Bunnies, and then, you know, a tough loss in Townsville. And they didn't have Lolahea or Kata, who might be two of their best 4 or 5 players last week, but they're both back. So it's basically a full-strength New Zealand. And the issue is that, like, yeah, the Tigers could honestly still win this game, and they could get it in a grind, but if, you know, a couple of bounces don't go the Tigers' way, you can see this one getting out of control too. So at this stage, I'm certainly not playing, you know, plus single digits. I'd need that 10 or maybe more to play the Tigers, but I'm hesitant to do it.
Yeah, And I think this one certainly depends on what happens in the Tigers-Panthers game, and that's what you've got to be ready to do as a bettor. On the last few weeks, or, you know, especially the last 2 weeks of the comp, you've got to be looking for, you know, correlations where, you know, one result means that this team doesn't need the game and et cetera. So if the Panthers win against the Titans, then this game means everything to both of these teams. They're only 3 points back from the Titans, and I would certainly look towards the under in this game if the Panthers beat the Titans, because this game would mean everything to the Warriors and Tigers. They'd still be in the hunt for the eight, and then 44.5 points would look like a hell of a lot of points. And then that way I'd also lean towards taking the plus points with the Tigers, especially if I could get 10. But on the flip side, if the Titans win, the Titans beat the Panthers, then both of these sides are gone. They're out of the eight, essentially. I think they're about 100 points differentials back from the Panthers. So they wouldn't be in the hunt for the eight, in which case that I would see a very open game. They'd be throwing the fuck out of the ball. They wouldn't care. And then, you know, I'd probably just stay away because anything could happen in that scenario. So, you know, I'm not playing anything on this one now. I'd have to wait and see what happens in the Titans-Panthers game. But if Titans win, I'm playing the under in this one.
Good call.
On Sunday afternoon, we got the Knights hosting the Rabbits. The Knights can be found anywhere from +12.5 to +13.5 and 44.5 the total.
And I reckon a little bit more vindication for the pod. You know, we said that Penrith are, you know, a top four level talent side, and people laughed and said that they shouldn't even be in the eight. I don't think people are laughing now. And, you know, we took the Bunnies about 5 weeks ago against Manly when they finally kind of had a healthy team. And people said, what are you doing betting on the Bunnies? The Bunnies are shit. The Bunnies are useless. But look at what they've done in the last kind of, you know, 3 games. They've really should have beaten Melbourne in Melbourne. They obliterated New Zealand in New Zealand, and then they've gone and beaten, pulled the Sharkies pants down as well. And it just goes to show you, as I said, this is the same roster, you know, give or take one or two players that won the comp 2 years ago. So, and they are motivated. They're trying hard because they've had a bad year, but they're trying to fight to prove themselves. And Maguire's got them fighting. So you don't really want to go against the Bunnies, but that is what I'm going to say, which is what I'm going to suggest, because it's old boys' day down in Newcastle, and, you know, they always say the Knights don't lose on old boys' day. And I don't know if that's going to be true this year, because it's going to be tough for the Knights to win, but I just think we're going to get a maximum effort spot. I think we have a Knights team that has lost 16 straight, that has pretty much turned up every week. I actually wonder last week about the fitness of, you know, guys like Mullen and Sione Mataupia. They were held out of the game, and I just wonder if it's because they knew that it was going to be pretty tough to beat the Titans, but maybe they just want to make sure those guys are healthy. For Sunday afternoon, how often are the Knights the Channel 9 game, you know? This is the Knights' grand final. They are at home. As we've said week after week, they actually cover more often than not when they play at home. They play hard for their fans. Mullen does make a big difference. Jeremy Smith, you know, last home game. The Saifidi brothers, the Mataupia brothers, they are good players. I wish White Lightning was there, but he's going to be suspended. But look, this is one that you don't look too much on paper, because on paper, the Bunnies have too much talent for them. This is one where you just have a home side that you know is just going to fight tooth and nail and give everything, and you can get more than 2 converted tries. It's just a smart play. You just take the Knights. And as we spoke about, you know, correlating plus points with an underdog and an under, I'm also looking at that, and we've spoken about that. You can do that on, you know, Bet365. You can take a multi within the same game with, like, Knights +13.5 and the total under 44.5. And I think that's the way to go. Although with neither side, you know, trying to make the eight, it could still be an open match. But I do think that the Knights will cover this one.
Yeah, you're absolutely right with the correlations. And like I said, yes, it could be an open match, but if you're trying to correlate, if the total is lower, there's much more chance that the underdog covers the spread, especially if it's a big point spread like 12.5. And just to sort of exemplify that, all you have to do is go to another betting site, let's say Tab or Sportsbet, and check the line total doubles. And they used to not be a sharp. They used to all be $3.60. which would be, you know, essentially $1.90 times $1.90 for the line total double. But you go and look at that now, and you find that underdog plus points linked with the under, and it is never $3.60. It's always around $3 or $3.20. These betting sites aren't dumb. They know that that's correlated. They know that if there's a lower scoring game, it's more likely that the underdog covers. So that's certainly a good one. I like the Knights plus 12.5. This is where, you know, the golden rule of betting, I guess, motivation, motivation, motivation. And for two sides that, you know, motivation is questionable, you look at this and you say the Knights, like you said, old boys day at home, last home game of the season, they get Mullen back. Flip side, you got the Rabbits off a short turnaround, huge letdown spot after beating the Sharks, who are second on the ladder at the moment. So that's a big letdown spot with them. I'm sure they would have been having a few drinks on Monday night. So shorter turnaround for the Rabbits. We got a home team catching more than 12 points, more than two converted tries, in a spot that we think they're going to be super motivated for. This is one of those ones where you just have to take the ugly duckling. It's betting 101, and we have to take the Knights here.
And just to piggyback on your point of the short turnaround, I should also say, Adam Reynolds, who had a bad hammy, and it was questionable to even play on Monday, also got concussed first half on Monday night. Now, if you look at the team list which came out yesterday, the Bunnies have named a 20-man, like a seven-man bench, three cover players, and that definitely has me wondering whether Reynolds is a certain starter. So if you do go out and take plus 13.5 with the Knights, you've also got that added chance that Reynolds just may not be good to go, which would be an absolute win as well. That because he is a very key player on the Bunnies and obviously doesn't miss conversions. And yeah, you're cheering if he's not playing in this one.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He's probably just worth 2 points on conversions alone, really. So I really like that one. To round out the round, we got the Eels hosting the Dragons on Monday night. The Eels are 4.5-point favourites, and you can find 37.5, 38.5 as the total.
Yeah, the Dragons were pretty piss weak on Sunday. And the story all year has been very mediocre attack. They've got, some good outside backs, none better than Dugan, but they just don't get him the ball in space. Benji Marshall is just so many years past his prime, and he's actually been dropped for this one. Widdup's a good player, but there's only so much he can do. I mean, literally, the only try they scored last week was Widdup going and catching a bomb himself. It's hard when this team just, refuses to put on points. But they're the only way I could look in this spot, because I will say this, the Dragons typically are an above-average defensive side. I know that they conceded a few tries in a row against the Roosters, but the Roosters were just running hot and just on fire in that second half. But so I was thinking, Dragons plus 4.5, we should probably jump on. Like, Dugan hurt his jaw last game. He's been named. And it's a decent squad that, will want to prove themselves. But then I looked at the Eels. They regain Mawera, he's a beastly second rower. Bo Scott is back in the team. Takarangi is back in the team. And obviously, Semi rejoined the side last week. And they nearly, pulled the Raiders pants down in Canberra. So it's actually like quite a strong Eels team, and what we've said week after week, the Eels do turn up every week. So you don't really have a question mark over that. So probably a slightly more talented Eels team playing at least equally motivated and at home. I think the line's fair.
Yeah, I think the line's probably fair as well. But like we said, and I know this was kind of one of our best bets a couple of weeks back when the Dragons played the Sharks. And they'd lost the week previous, and that sort of put them almost out of contention for the eight. And we said to ourselves that they were going to throw the ball around a bit more, which teams often like to do, when there's not much to play for. You often find that when the two teams playing each other where there's, hardly anything to play for or nothing to play for, they often end in high-scoring games. And the opposite can be said when you've got, two teams that are fighting tooth and nail for, let's say, a top four spot, a top eight spot. They often trend to the under. And what we've got here, I know that when the Dragons played the Sharks, they were basically out of the eight at that point. And they threw the ball around, and look what their offense did. They crushed the Sharks, and it was well over the total. And then after that, they thought, oh, shit, we actually are in with a hunt for the eight here. And then they played conservative as fuck and got absolutely trounced by the Roosters. So now they're fully out of contention for the eight again. I think that they throw the ball around a little bit more here. We know that the Eels always fight, but they're going to throw the ball around a bit more here as well in a prime time game. I think this total honestly should be closer to 40.5. And 37.5 seems cheap to me with two sides that have nothing to play for that I think are going to be throwing the ball around a bit. I think that's a low total for me.
I actually love that. Yeah, I didn't look too closely at that one. I was expecting the total must be in the low 40s, but 37.5. I mean, the only thing you'd want to be checking is weather, because if you looked at last Monday night, that game had almost no opportunity to go over just because of the slippery conditions. But yeah, I'm absolutely with you. It's that classic thing that you see every game of a team that just frustrates the hell out of you for 60 minutes and just does nothing with the ball, just goes one off the ruck. And then when they're down two tries, they start spreading it wide, and lo and behold, start making 50 and 60 metres and causing problems. These teams, it's like funny, it's in their head. When they think that they need to win, they go conservative and they go into their shell. And when, you know, when a team doesn't need to win, they play so much better sometimes and just play free open footy.
Yep.
So I could definitely see that being the case. I think if we've got a good chance of dry weather, that's a great bet to go over.
Dry weather. I checked the weather report. Sun all day on Monday down in Parramatta.
Beautiful. Okay, well, I like that one too. So we do like the Dogs in the under, and we do like the Broncos in the under in the next two night primetime games. I don't think we really like anything on the Saturday slate, although we've already played Penrith plus four. I do think we love the Knights and maybe another bet surrounding the Knights or an under in that Sunday arvo footy game. I think that's a sharp play, and we've just spoken at the over on Monday night. I've probably got to go, as do you. I have a terrible feeling that I have missed the buffet. I can't see anybody else eating anymore.
It
opens at 12:30, and obviously I had to record the pod straight away. So and I had it yesterday. It was absolutely delicious, like butter chicken curry and like all nice salads and stuff.
Yep.
So this is the kind of, you know, sacrifices that we make. I hope people appreciate it. I hope people enjoyed listening today. I think we've kind of summarized where we're at in terms of our suspended Facebook page. But we do still have our group, tips forum, possibly through renamed tripod tips forum very soon. And obviously, you're in doubt, you want to get any of our content, it is now all on www.tripodbetting.com. Anything else, mate?
Yep. And just make sure that you do sign up for the newsletter there. Not only will you get all the best bets and multis delivered straight to your inbox, but we're also going to do another 100K challenge again. And now that one was free to enter. We had about 100 folks in there last time around. We turned a $500 free bet into about $8,000. So, I mean, we're well on our way. We're going to do it again. It doesn't cost you anything to enter. So sign up for the newsletter, because we're going to be sending out all the instructions on how to be involved in the next 100K challenge out by email. Just make sure you head to our website, at, like you said, tripodbetting.com. Hit the menu tab, hit newsletter, and type in your email and subscribe, and you'll get all the info through there.
Absolutely, and if you need to get a new betting account, we have all the best exclusive offers on our website. It's all easy to find. It's honestly like an app. Just give it a try. All right, cheers, mate. Good luck to everyone on the punt this week. I think we're definitely going to be in a good spot to bounce back after our least successful round last week. I think we've already given out some good early best bets, and as you said, we've discussed a couple more good sides now. So good luck to everyone, but as always, please
please
gamble responsibly.